Hi, this is Mike Grell, and I'm here with the Long Box guys, whoever the hell they are.
We're on the road, we're going home, to the place where wild nerds roam, with pretty girls and dudes and kids. Going to cons is our escape. It's like Panda Buggies in a star-filled sky, where you can meet all your heroes and none of them fly.
Hey man, this is Kevin Smith. Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
Hey everybody, and welcome to the Long Box, guys. Hey, my name is Tom Strange. With me, as always, are some of my very best friends so many goddamn years, 30 plus in some cases, more than 30 plus in some cases. God damn, wow. Mikey, how you doing? What are you drinking?
I am doing fine. I am drinking water because I only had one beer and I drank it during our goat podcast.
Boo. Boo on you, good sir.
Sorry.
LT, go get another beer or some mouthwash, something. You got to get some funny in you, Mikey. Come on. Tommy, how you doing? What are you drinking?
I'm doing okay. I am drinking some Compass Box Spice Tree Scotch, and it is delicious.
That sounds delicious. Josh, how you doing? What are you drinking, my friend?
I am drinking one of my world's greatest beers, Julius, from Treehouse in Charlton, Massachusetts.
That stuff is hard to get at.
Totally worth throwing my toes off.
I'm drinking a little something I call a long shot, which is Coors Light and some of the best scotch I have in the house. Because, you know, you mix the two together, and hopefully it's good. But it's a long shot. Speaking of long shots, that's our episode today. We're going to be talking about Mojo versus Super Cool Superhero Long Shot. Who would like to do the backstory?
So Long Shot was created by Marvel Comics in September of 1985 by Ann Nocenti and Art Adams. When she first came up with the idea, it was to have Longshot as a standalone character. They did a 6-issue miniseries, introduced the whole concept of the Mojoverse. Little fun Alex fact, Art Adams, when he was designing Longshot, his costume was based on the Starfleet uniform for the first Star Trek movie, but his mullet haircut was based off of the lead singer for Kaja Goo Goo. That's right, I said it. Kaja Goo Goo. Josh, you do know one of their songs.
I do not.
Too Shy.
Too Shy. Hush, hush, bye, bye.
Too Shy. I'm sorry, what is that again, Tom?
Hush, hush, bye, bye.
One more time.
Shy, shy. Hush, hush, bye, bye.
Well, I need it one more time.
Shy, shy. Hush, 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 bye, bye.
Okay, yeah, I do remember that song.
That's not what I remember. That's not the song I remember. The didn't they have a song like "All We Think Is" the Kaja Goo Goo?
I don't know that song.
I'll come up with it. Keep going.
Okay.
Oh, so, I'm thinking of Radio Goo Goo, Radio Gaga. It's probably not the same thing.
Totally different group.
Yeah. What group is that, LT?
I don't know.
All right, look it up.
It's definitely not Kaja Goo Goo.
I would need to think about it for some more.
But let's talk about Longshot, shall we? He is from the Mojo universe. He has superpowers of, well, he's really lucky. That's his main power. He's also got psychometry. Yeah, what's that, by the way, Josh?
That is the ability to hold an object and read some of the psychic impressions from its past. Oh. So he can hold objects and figure out who owned it, where it come from, and who made it.
Excellent.
Actually, quite one side note, his is slightly different. He can not only tell who's had it in the past, but he can also tell if someone's going to hold it in the future.
Hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, I found that pretty interesting when I read it, too, because psychometry usually only goes backwards, but his also goes forwards. They've used that in the comic books a couple times to get something to find out if someone's going to hold something and, like, hide a note in it or something. So they've actually used that power, which is kind of an odd power.
Well, he's proficient in bladed weapons because he throws his daggers with incredible accuracy. He's very agile and has a healing factor. He was created... Go ahead, Tom.
I believe he has one more power, but this is under dispute, so you guys might want to chime in on this. I've read five different versions of his power sets and his origin story, and some of them mention that he also has Star Fox's ability to affect not the hormones, but the emotional feelings of other people to have them fall in a slight euphoria around him. Now, I see where they are getting this from a couple of different comic books where both male and females feel amiable to him and they don't know why, and Longshot alludes that it's part of a power set, but I've never really thought about it before. Do you guys find that as part of his power set?
No, I fucking vote that shit down. Haven't you ever talked about getting lucky?
I think he's just getting lucky.
Yeah, it's his probability manipulation that's just making him look so hot, maybe.
Maybe the wind catches the hair.
Yeah,
exactly.
Okay, I wasn't 100% sold on that theory myself, but I came across it enough times that I thought it bore mentioning.
Hollow bone.
Oh, yes.
Oh, hollow bones. I forgot about that.
I'm not sure if that's a superpower, but it's a differentiator.
It is, because he can jump greater heights and glide. Not glide, but at least kind of float a little bit like birds.
Pretty much no damage from falling.
Also, two hearts.
Two hearts.
Well, he gave one to Dazzler.
He feels twice as much.
So Longshot debuts in a 6-issue limited series, which also creates the Mojoverse. Mojo is a cable company executive whose whole universe is dependent on ratings. And Longshot tries to overthrow the status quo. He gets kicked out of the Mojoverse. And when he comes to Earth, he forgets everything about his past. The amnesia of forgetting all of his past comes up again and again in his whole storyline. His series was popular, but in retrospect, that first 6-issue miniseries didn't sell very well. But afterwards, when his creator took over the editing responsibilities of the X-Men, she had him join the X-Men, despite the fact that he wasn't a mutant. And once he joined the X-Men, then all of a sudden everybody wanted to go get that 6-issue miniseries, which is why it's pretty expensive if you go try to get the back issues. You'd be better off reading the trade paperback. And so he was a member of the X-Men. Then later on, he ends up leaving and becomes a member of X-Factor. He was also a member of the Exiles for a while, and he's had a number of different relationships, most notably with Dazzler. He has the distinction of being not only the father of Shatterstar, but also Shatterstar's son, which is weird.
One of the things I think, and I think this is actually just missed by a lot of artists, is in the original 6-issue miniseries, they draw Longshot as having two opposable thumbs and three fingers in between. And I don't think that's the case through every series I've seen him in.
No, I don't think so either. I think he had four fingers, right?
I just know he had the two opposable thumbs, which would be awesome if he actually had a top and a bottom gun in each hand. And I don't know why nobody's done that, because that would look badass.
He could do upsie-downsies?
Upsie-downsies. Four
boom,
pistols.
Boom.
Right?
Who wouldn't like upsie-downsies?
Right, yeah. Imagine the holsters on his hips for that.
Especially with him being so lucky.
Would love that.
Yeah. 27 extra abs and upsie-downsies.
Oh.
Yeah, and he'd need a lot of pouches for the ammo.
Yeah.
Why not?
No, don't.
Why did he get the life field?
Just drink.
Yeah, I just don't know why they didn't do that.
So that's it for me. What about you guys? What are some of your favorite or long shot series?
Well, let me jump right in, because I was one of the few guys that bought the original long shot series. Something about the cover kind of drew me in. I liked the mullet. I was a kid of the 80s, and I loved the Mojoverse. The Mojoverse was really cool. It predicted reality TV a little bit before reality TV became like super huge. Reality TV was already pretty big in Japan, but it didn't really hit here yet as being a big, big thing. And the Mojoverse being this entire television world of television people who love their TV, creating a whole race of slaves to fight or be stuntmen. Remember, Longshot was originally just a stuntman, and they would throw him in these ridiculous action movies where he'd be doing his own stunts live and throughout the TV show. And it was mostly just Mojo trying to kill Longshot in these weird movie scenes where he'd be like, hey, you're going to rob this bank. Go ahead, kid. Go for it. And he'd be acting, but he'd also be trying to rob a bank and trying to not die, which is a pretty fun concept. I liked his power set. I liked his look. And I did have that original 1-6 series. I wish I still had it because it'd be worth a little bit of money. But I think I traded it to Ray Mastriani. I traded it to you, Josh?
Yeah, you traded it to me. I have it.
Oh, good. Good. At least a friend has it, not Ray Mastriani.
It's in my basement right now.
What did I trade it to you for? Do you remember?
I'm trying to think. Was it a bike? I think I got a lot of my early X-Men and the Longshot series and something else for the 18-speed Univega.
Well, I never had an 18-speed anything, so it wasn't me.
Wasn't you? Okay. I don't know
probably
what that
trade you comics for comic. But I usually just
comics for comics then.
I was more of a I want to read them more than I want to keep them kind of guy, so. Mikey, how about you? What's your fave?
I'm going to go with the Australian X-Men. They combined a couple of, it's weird that he was a member of the X-Men because he wasn't a mutant. Everybody just assumed he was because he had superpowers. He had amnesia, so nobody bothered to, use Cerebro to find out.
Let me just say this. Amnesia comes up more for this character than any other character I've ever come across. Every time he shows up someplace, this freaking guy has amnesia. He doesn't remember who the hell he is.
Which seems it's unlucky.
What's that?
Yeah.
Seems unlucky, though, right?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Because if he actually remembered, they wouldn't have accepted him because he wouldn't be a mutant.
Oh.
Lucky.
And because of that, he gets to bang Dazzler, which is actually my favorite part of the series.
Super lucky.
Yeah, like I said, like Mike just said, he existed through one of the best times. Just Claremont and Silvestri just killing it with the X-Men. The late 220s into the 230s, 240s with the Reavers in Australia and then in through the Brood series and into early Genosha. Just one of the greatest times for the X-Men. Some of my favorite writing of all time. He's just he's a great character to have in there. His power set was completely different, and it was nice to have something that was so ephemeral that they could sort of bend stories a little bit thanks to Longshot. And those happy coincidences when they happen in movies and other places we love seem like bullshit and seem terrible, but it's really nice to have like a Domino or a Longshot there because they allow you to write in things that seem like huge coincidences or seem like the sort of even breaking the fourth wall where the writer's really just helping the characters out. But you have that, have someone and something to attribute that to. And that's a really nice thing to have as a writer.
So like as an example, let's say a car was going over a cliff, right? And there were not only airbags, but also, hear me out,
fire extinguishers. Fire extinguishers in the back. Can you believe it? Hudson Hawk is Longshot.
If Longshot was in the back of that car, it would have happened.
Sprinklers, yeah.
Yeah,
makes sense. In the back. Can you believe it?
I'm actually just a little bit surprised that, Josh, you take that line of thought, only because you hate it when a Dr. Fate character or a Dr. Strange character is in the mix, and they seem to be able to pull anything out of their magic hat that is necessary. And Domino and Longshot are almost the same way.
They are and they aren't. I think they're more of a writing influence than sort of what Doctor Strange does. And I get my problem with Doctor Strange and Doctor Fate and characters like that, especially the sort of the magic free-for-alls, is that it's inconsistent. Doctor Strange in one instance is like, oh, I have this spell that can completely do this. And then you see him basically in similar circumstances with another writer who just disregards that ability. And it just gets you nowhere. It seems like the runabout. That seems to me – I mean, don't get me wrong. The whole long shot effect is lazy writing. But it can be enjoyable for a comic book.
Lazy can be funny.
And also when like a Doctor Strange does it, it's like how many spells does he remember that he has all of these remembered for every single different minutia of things that could happen?
I don't follow that because I remember every single spell from basic, second edition, 3.5, Pathfinder, and now 5e. So if that's probably somewhere in the 7,000 to 10,000 spell range, and I know all their durations and effects. So
okay. Yeah, but can right. can you recite them?
Every couple.
Yeah, I mean you understand what this one does, but actually casting them, that's a whole other thing. That's a lot of spell slots you got.
Those are called song lyrics, Mike, and I know plenty of people who have an indelible treasure trove of that stored in their brains. They're probably geniuses if they didn't fucking do karaoke.
So to get back to Longshot, though, one of the other reasons right. why Claremont used him so effectively in that series is because it was a really dark series, and Longshot got to be the comic relief for that series. Without him in there, it's just a dark, miserable era for the X-Men. He provides that little... those little coincidences and lucks that they need to keep them going.
Absolutely. He's got the mullet going, so he's totally business in the front and party in the back. So he's cool. he's both an effective character and, yeah, that sort of, like, shining light. That, yeah, absolutely, Mike. He makes those comics just even keel where you're just not getting drowned in the sort of the depth of the writing.
And the whole time the storyline's going on, it's always – telling you that during the time that it's going on, they're fighting to prevent something that's going to be more horrible. They're always trying to prevent the horrible Days of Future Past that's coming.
Right.
And the mutant concentration camps, and the whole time that storyline is happening, it's all foreboding something much worse. And so to have Longshot there as the comic relief really does kind of help pull it back up, because even though it's dark then, it's also foreboding something even darker.
What about you, LT? What was your favorite Longshot series?
So, I mean, you guys have talked over the X-Men like time and time again, so I feel like I need to bring something different to the table. So I'm going to say that one of my favorite Longshot moments is in X-Factor. When they have been – X-Factor has been retained to investigate by the Richard children the fact that Reed Richards is not acting like their dad. And Longshot, they have gone to Latveria of all places, and they have exhumed a recently dug grave, and they pull up the casket. And only Longshot's very, very precisely ground blades can slice open the casket and reveal that the real Reed Richards is contained in this perfectly sealed up casket that's been buried, and that the Reed Richards that's pretending to be their father is actually a duplicate from a different dimension. And it was just very lucky that Longshot was there to do that. And it was just a great scene using Longshot's sort of, it's good that I'm here because these blades can cut through anything, including this metal casket. Oh, look, here's Reed Richards. How lucky.
And that's also X-Factor kind of needed that luck, too, because X-Factor was one of the most unlucky superhero teams.
Yeah. And throughout that entire Peter Davidson run, whenever you saw Longshot, he was always getting it on with somebody. He was always getting lucky. Yeah. Even with exes that had no intention of getting lucky with him. He's like, hey, it's been a while. You sure you don't want it? And they're like, yeah, why don't we?
And that's actually part of some people's explanation of how he has that extra power of perhaps manipulating people's emotions.
Yeah. So this is more of an aside than a tangent. But while I was looking for some of the covers of the issues sort of in here, the run I liked best by him, and in issue 223, the cover, this is in the Storm Without Our Powers Mohawk days, it looks like, there is she's being constricted by a giant snake and about to stab it with a dagger in her hand, and I cannot for life of me remember what the fuck that comic was about. Anyone remember that?
Savage Land.
Is it Savage Land?
I think that's the time when Longshot was exiled to the Savage Land for a while.
Okay. I buy that. Sure.
I remember that. I don't believe Storm had her powers at that point either.
Well, was the guy who looked like a pterodactyl who was always
there? Oh, that was the guy who could have cured cancer right off the bat, but he didn't want to cure cancer. He wanted to turn everyone into a dinosaur. Sauron.
Sauron. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the only way. That's the best. Every time I see Sauron, that's the only thing I can remember is that Peter Parker, like, what are you doing? You have total control over all of DNA. You can cure cancer. And he yells back, I don't want to cure cancer. I want everyone to be a dinosaur, which is pure.
Dinosaurs without cancer, I might have.
Yeah. No. Dinosaur dying of cancer. Fuck off.
So, Josh, that was – she was with Forge, and she was on a peyote trip. That's what was going on. And
I like mine better.
I do love Forge.
I just looked at
it. I do love peyote.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Who doesn't love peyote, right, guys? Come on, peyote.
Come on, peyote and Forge.
Yeah.
Robot like that turns into a sniper rifle? Cheers.
Is that everyone's favorite run on Longshot?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, well, let's not forget to add a couple things. Of course, we mentioned Shatterstar really quick. He had we should mention X-Babies at some point, shouldn't we?
Nope.
I think you're good.
Nope. Dazzler and Longshot team up with X-Babies to overthrow an entire Mojoverse? We shouldn't talk about that?
Nope.
Okay, fine. We're going to, you know what? Screw it. You're right. Skip it over.
I wasn't crazy about the Mojoverse because, well, it helped harbor in reality TV, and it's too prophetic.
It was.
In another 50 years, there will be cable companies enslaving people for our amusement, and it'll be horrible.
Mojo actually won.
I want that T-shirt. Mojo won.
Or Mojo was right.
Mojo was right. Yeah.
Killmonger was right. Magneto was right. Mojo was on the side of the gods.
I'm just saying, if you take away some orange people's hair, they look a little like Mojo.
Ooh.
Some orange presidential people.
Yeah, you didn't have to clarify it. We all got the reference.
Yeah.
Got
it. No one likes ambiguity, Mike. I'm with you, LT. All right, I guess that brings us to the front of the long box. Mikey, what do you got for us?
I got a new series about a villain called Ambiguity. That's an amazing coincidence. No, I'm just kidding.
No one likes that guy. Everyone hates Ambiguity.
It sounds like a great character.
It's going to fail. It's going to fail horribly.
I want to see Ambiguity. I'm in it now.
No, at the front of the long box, I have Secret Empire. So when the Secret Empire first came out, I was not a fan. I was thinking this is going to be another Marvel crossover that's going to fuck up all my regular series, and I was right about that. But I just read the series itself, and I got to tell you, Nick Spencer did a hell of a job, and this by itself, forget about all the crossovers that screwed up with everything else, is a really good series. The premise is there's a cosmic cube fragment which gains sentience and forms into a little girl. And S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to use this little girl to their advantage. But what they don't realize is Dr. Eric Selvig, the guy from the Thor movies, is a sleeper Hydra agent. And so he then introduces her to the Red Skull, and the Red Skull convinces this little cosmic cube girl that Hydra is the best. So later on, when she comes across Captain America, she decides to fix Captain America by adjusting his reality. And when she does that, Captain America's whole backstory changes. His mom and dad are, well, let me back up. His dad is an abusive alcoholic, and a member of Hydra saves Steve and his mom from the dad. And they indoctrinate Steve into Hydra, and the whole time he has been a sleeper agent. And on the verge of World War II, they find out that the Allies have created or have come up with a way to tap into a cosmic cube to change reality so that the Axis powers don't win the war, the Allies do. So this is Steve Rogers' whole persona, that he believes that his reality was manipulated by a cosmic cube and that Hydra should have won. And he then puts in the greatest Marvel tactician's mind is, how can I take over the United States and eliminate the Red Skull, who's an aberration to what Hydra really is? And it's great the way he manipulates all the heroes. You find out that the whole Civil War II, he manipulated both sides in it to fight each other. And when you look back on all the things that happened, it all totally makes sense. You can pick it up for, it's called Secret Empire. It was an 8 or 9 issue series. It's all self-contained. You don't have to read any of the other series involved in it, and you'll like it. If you like Captain America, it's a great story.
Well, I do like Captain America. I love some of the crossover stuff I already read. The part where he invades the magical realm and Doctor Strange has to fight him off is really cool. So that's what I should really get more into.
And
Tommy,
I'm sorry. It was written by Nick Spencer. And you know, any of the people who have actually read The Superior Foes of Spider-Man, you know that he loves to put Easter eggs in it and then calls back to it later on. And he does this throughout this series. So that's one of the really good things about it. He has been building to this for – he built up to this series for 3 years before it actually pays off.
Is there any like little secret egg or Easter egg where he has Rob Liefeld hide a person in that second chest
pouch
that Liefeld?
No.
Yeah.
You know, we shit on Rob Liefeld a lot here on the podcast, but that's because he deserves it because of his shitty artwork.
I see. And I thought you were going to say that's because he created a second shitter in somebody.
Tommy, why don't you tell me what's in the back of the long box?
In the back of the long box, I have X-Men Age of X. This was released back in December 2011. It is a story of where Magneto starts by taking a bunch of skyscrapers and creates a sanctuary for mutants because mutants are being hunted like they always are. And he creates a sanctuary and a last bastion stronghold for mutants. And the mutants are all holed up in this stronghold. And every day they fight for survival, just kind of living in this stronghold. Wolverine was sent in to prevent an anti-mutant virus from being disseminated across the world. He basically took all the doses of the virus and destroyed the formula. And so he lost his mutant powers because he took all of the last remaining doses of the virus to destroy it. And
wait, I'm sorry, LT.
Yeah.
Did he take all of the virus?
All
or
of them.
Did he just ask for, you know, a bunch of the virus, or did he take all of the virus?
Took all the doses.
So when he said, bring me all the doses, and he was afraid that someone's honey said,
no, he broke into the lab. He broke into the lab.
Thank you, Rob Swanson.
Destroyed the formula, and then had all of the remaining doses that had been created injected into himself, thus destroying his mutant ability to heal.
And this all ties back to Legion, right?
It does all tie back to Legion.
Of course it does. And it's got Nemesis and Moira MacTaggert in it, too.
It does have Moira MacTaggert in it.
So, super science!
Science!
Exactly. So, for science over 1,000 days, they're
what we're talking about here, guys.
They're holed up in this,
damn it,
this bastion. There's a jail for mutants. Cyclops has been captured, and he has had his eyelids ripped out of his body, and he is used as an executioner of mutants.
He's pretty much used as a rifle.
Yes.
That's awful, actually.
It is. It really is. So basically, he gets to see a couple of times a day when he kills his fellow mutants. But he escapes from the jail. He makes it to the outside. He makes it to the freehold of the mutants. He goes, he joins the army, fighting for their survival. All of a sudden, Kitty Pryde escapes from within the fortress. She has been sedated and held deep within the confines of the fortress. Magneto captures her and brings her back to where some of the mutants that are a little uncontrollable are being held in their own sort of prison. And she escapes, and people are like, what's going on there? Why are we capturing our own? Why are we hiding our own? And some people get a little suspicious and are a little like, why are we doing this to our own? That's not who we are. We're not the type to do that. And some people start investigating, and all we find out is that things aren't as they seem. Professor X is being held, and it all comes out to light that really what's happening is we're in a reality that's been created by Legion. And really what's going on is that Legion has been somebody is trying to fix Legion's psychosis, and they're trying to eliminate the different personalities that were within Legion. And one of the defense mechanisms is that Legion has created this world where all the mutants are banded together for survival. And Professor X, in the end, has to help save the day. And it was really and actually a very good story with Legion in it. It's the first good story that I've read with Legion in it. And that's why I recommend it in the back of the long box, because so far it's the only story I've liked with Legion in it. And it was the best story that I've seen with Cyclops in it.
How dare you, sir?
How dare you say that there was a good storyline with Cyclops?
Oh, it was a fantastic story.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Cyclops was not a leader. Cyclops was tortured. Cyclops had depth of character. He was a tortured character in it. He had to look deep within himself to overcome the pain that he felt.
His escape was badass.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was.
It was everything you wanted to see from Cyclops. Normally, you just see the failure of Cyclops.
You see son of a bitch. Yeah. He just saved his entire race, and this is how you treat him.
You see him as Xavier's greatest failure consistently. You're like, didn't Xavier bring you to the home of mutants to try to learn how to control your power, and yet it's still uncontrollable? Yeah. In this, he has no choice. He can't control his power because his eyelids have been taken from him.
They took my eyelids, Tommy!
They took his eyelids!
They took my eyelids!
Can you really just...
Yeah.
I
mean, he wasn't in charge of the army. Sam Guthrie Cannonball was. I mean, it was quite possibly Cyclops at his best.
You guys suck.
Cyclops at his best is still no.
No, Tom, I think you'd love it.
His worst.
Tom, I think you would love it. I think you would read this book. And
No, I really did like his escape. His escape really was kick-ass. I do enjoy that. But that's a tangent that we'll get into some other day. Speaking of which, I saw you light up there, Josh. Got a tangent for us?
Yeah, so I want to talk about today paywalls. So a lot of our listeners may or may not know, DC Universe is starting their own online pay channel. And they're really taking all of their new live and animated content and setting it straight to this. This includes the Titans TV show, Doom Patrol, Swamp Thing, and then the animated series Young Justice Outsiders, which a lot of us have been waiting for years and should be able to get to see for free. And if we don't, we're going to have to drive somewhere where DC executives are and kick them in the nuts. And then there's also an adult-level Harley Quinn animated series that will be on there. I also have the very immediate sense that a lot of the DC Universe shows that are on popular channels are going to start getting pulled away and pulled onto the DC Universe channel. The only nice thing about it so far is that all of the DC Universe movies that we really enjoy, which we have to go out and either pirate, pay for, or hunt down from a friend, will be available for free or will be included behind the paywall. So my question is, paywalls, DC Universe, is this a good direction for us nerds, or is this counterproductive?
Okay, I have a real opinion on this one, because I've always said that the next big frontier when it comes to entertainment isn't owning anything. It's access to things. So the idea of owning a movie is almost gone. DVDs, Blu-rays, these are going to become dinosaur relics. It's going to be access to the movies that we like. And maybe we'll be able to buy digital prints and have them forever, but it's access that's the next big frontier. I've always thought that if there were like 4 or 5 channels that I wanted from a cable company, I would buy those and throw the rest aside.
You can do that now, though.
But we can. But now we're seeing the exact cable channels I want. DC, Marvel, cable channels are something I really want. I mean, I really want. But I also want a news channel and a wrestling channel. And maybe that's really all I want. I want a news and a wrestling and DC and Marvel. That's really all I want. And I would pay for those 4 channels. And if that's what I could have, I'd be pretty happy. So I kind of like it, except I'm worried that they're going to get so bisected into such small increments that I'm going to be paying a lot. That's my 2 cents. What do you think, Tommy?
Okay. I agree with you on some level. I agree with everything you're saying that, you know, I'd like to pay for each channel. But I don't think the level of content is going to be up to the level of what every channel is charging right now. Because I think they're going to come in at the, oh, we want to charge you $7-$8 a month, just like a Hulu or a Netflix, but we're only going to give you 10 shows.
Well, here's what they're doing differently, though, is they're also going to give you their comic books, right? They're going to do it like the Marvel Unlimited. So you subscribe to DC Unlimited, you're going to be getting all of those shows, but you're also going to be getting access to the digital comic book library that they're going to include in it, which makes it a great deal, right?
If it includes new stuff, sure.
Well, no, they can't include new stuff on
but
that because otherwise it kills the floppy
recent
market.
But how recent is it going to go?
It looks like 6 to 9 months right now, right?
And 6 to 9 months is fine. But if it's we're not going to give you anything in the past 5 years, then I might have a problem with it.
I'd still have a good time with it because then you're still talking about over, 70 years?
Yeah.
Of comic
books.
Well,
depending on where they started digitizing them, right?
Right. But they've got a lot of them.
They're always working on it.
Right.
But yeah, I've already got a lot of those.
I'm always working on my yard. It's never fucking finished.
Right. But for, but for example, for
excellent. That's a good point. I like that point. Good point.
Say, for example, let's say you have a podcast where you have to do character histories, and rather than going out and buying those comics, wow, I've already got my subscription. I can go read these comics that about this hero or villain for this week's podcast and share them with our listeners who can also do the same thing.
But, Mike, what I'm saying is that may be something in another 3 to 5 years, but at starting at the gate, I don't think you're at $7-$8 a month. I think you're at $5 a month. And then as you get your digital library gets bigger, as you start digitizing more, as you start including more of the more recent books, then you start adding another dollar.
There's no way DC Universe is going to be less than $15 a month, I would guess.
Actually, with Tommy here, I think the basic might start at $7, where you get the comic books. Then the comic books and the TV shows, you're up to $15. And then the comic books and the TV shows and the movies, you're up to $20.
No way they're charging $20 a month. If Netflix and Hulu can't charge you $20 a month, there's no way people are paying $20 a month for DC.
I'm with you, but I'm just saying that's kind of the way they're thinking.
Yeah, but right now, that's the $20 a month. That's the equivalent of buying 5 comic books. Right? So if it's $10 a month for this kind of access to DC Comics, yeah, I'm going to spend it. I might drop my subscription to a couple of their comic books just to pay for it. But, yeah, it's all going to balance out in the end. Eventually, I'm going to be able to read those comics, and I'm going to get all that other content.
I just want to know if I have to wait till the end of Young Justice Outsiders to finish so I can watch the whole series for 1 month and then cancel.
Josh, just this month on Hulu, what popped? The Judas Contract. Didn't you just pay for that like a month ago and you only got in Spanish?
Well, I had a problem with it where I only got it in Spanish, yeah.
But how much did you pay for it in Spanish?
Well, no, that was like a year ago. I saw like the day after it came, got released. I don't know. It's $8-$10.
$8, but you saw it in Spanish. It was great.
I saw it in Spanish.
It was like, bueno.
For like 2 months, it was bueno. And then finally they got me the English version, yeah.
2 months, really?
3 months.
That's best bad customer service, really.
It is pretty bad customer service.
So have you guys watched Cobra Kai?
Cobra Kai!
I haven't paid for that.
See, that's the problem. I watched the first 2 episodes and I loved it. But then I was like, I don't want to subscribe to YouTube Red.
YouTube Premiere Red, whatever
right,
it is.
For one TV show.
We'll binge watch it and we'll do it for a month. Everyone chip in $3. Josh, you down for that?
The real question is just like everything else, right? So like Hulu and Netflix, right? I could give everybody here my login and Hulu and Netflix would neither care nor limit that.
Well, so I mean, they do limit it eventually. I mean, you can only have so many logins.
You only have so many devices that you're allowed to log into on Netflix.
But the other thing is I haven't run out of shit to watch on those two platforms.
And they're constantly creating new stuff too, which is why they're doing it, right?
Good stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
So I mean, so then it becomes, do I pay another $10 to $15 and I can't even finish watching the stuff that I'm paying for?
I mean, I'm watching Young Justice Outsiders as soon as it comes on.
Yeah.
That's the fact.
Done.
I'm just saying, like, at some point, you run out of, is this worth another $10 to $15?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's what I'm saying is eventually the price has to come down because you're competing with so much else.
It's worse for nerds that are also wrestling fans because right now I'm subscribing to WWE and Ring of Honor, and I kind of want to go to New Japan also, and I want to do DC, and I want to do Netflix because Netflix has all these great shows that are Luke Cage and all that. So, you know, that new frontier really is this. But that new frontier is getting more exciting because CONtv, Mikey, recently got bought up by Netflix. And do you know what you can watch on Netflix right now?
Can we watch Us?
Yes, on Netflix right
We're
now.
We're on Netflix?
So we can fucking watch Us.
We can watch Us?
We can.
Holy fuck, we're on Netflix.
We're on Netflix right now. I've been meaning to tell you guys that.
Why did you bury the lead, Tom?
Sorry, I didn't bury the lead. But one of our stupid ramblings is on Netflix if you really want to watch it.
And how can they find that? Tell them the information, Tom. The Long Box Legion demands it.
If you do CONTV/ Civil Rights and Social Justice Movements, you can find that on Netflix. It's not easy to find, but I came across it one day when I was doing something. And I'm like, what the fuck? I'm on Netflix. And I masturbated for a long time.
Oh, you came right away. Don't lie.
No. Oh, I
no,
just
whoa, whoa. Let them watch. Whoa, whoa. Let them watch the show first to find out if it's a happy ending or not.
Yeah. I haven't watched the whole damn thing.
So I guess what I'm saying, Mikey, is yes, I'm really excited about DC doing this, but I'm not going to subscribe until I read all the fucking books that I bought that are DC on Comixology.
I'm done with the boys yet. This is a great tangent, Josh. I really have to say that this is a fun one because, you know, there's so many channels out there. I've always said I would only subscribe to X amount of channels if I could. But so many out there are like getting little bon mons of things I have to have.
So when my wife and I stopped paying for cable, we did the math and we decided that at the time we could buy every TV show that we watched on iTunes for the same price that our new cable package was going to be. Because in order to get all the shows we were watching, we would have to get the most expensive cable package because of the way our provider was restructuring the cable packages. And even though we don't watch sports, we had to buy like a package that included like 85 different ESPNs and such. And we're like, this is the only way we can get BBC America, Comedy Central, and the History Channel. And we literally were like, we could buy every single episode of everything on iTunes and pay the same amount that they want us to pay. And so we just decided at that point to buy Netflix. And we have not bought any of those episodes of anything. And we haven't run out of shit to buy. And this year we do Netflix and Hulu. And I still have not run out of anything to watch. And between that and the stuff that's over the air, because, well, I live in the Boston area and I get like 8 or 9 channels most of the time in my basement apartment over the air with an antenna hooked up to my TV, I haven't run out of shit to watch.
I can't find that on Netflix, dude.
Well, I will add a link. I did see it a couple days ago. Yeah. Maybe it was Hulu. Might have been Hulu, actually. Sorry.
Yeah, you need to find that shit and tell us. You need
I
to
did,
send
but
us
I came
link.
Across and I squealed like a pig.
You need to send us a link so we can put it on our Facebook page.
It was on Amazon.
Oh, yeah, it's been on Amazon.
Yeah, Amazon Prime. You could watch us on Amazon Prime.
Really? That's great. Love that.
Tom, what do you have for civil rights and social justice?
Let me just say this. I care. I care, and I think a lot of us care. When the First Lady of the United States wears a jacket that says, I don't really care, do you? Perhaps our only thing that we should say is, actually, if you're on your way to see a bunch of children detained in cages on the border, we do care. And it's horrific that we actually even have to make that statement necessary. And thanks for asking, Mikey.
You're welcome.
All right. And that about does it for us here at the Long Box. Anyone have any plugs?
Well, I would like to thank Kirby Crackle for providing us our geek rock music every week. You can listen to them at KirbyCrackleMusic.com, or you can buy their music on iTunes or Bandcamp. Also, a shout-out to our fellow nerd podcasters, the Sammy Savage crew over at Who's Next. I am about to go record a show for them tomorrow on the DC Metal series. And we're also going to talk about the Doomsday Clock. If you are in the St. Charles Parish area in Louisiana on July 7th, you should go check out the first ever Comic-Con at the library there. It's going to be from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. That's at the East Regional Library, 160 West Campus Drive in Destrehan, Louisiana. And you will see one quarter of the Long Box guys doing a panel on horrible stereotypes. Or, if you want, we'll even bring 2/8 of us there.
Oh.
Ooh. 3/16?
Wow. That's not how math works.
That's not how math works.
4/16.
Hey! My Josh, what do you have to
I got Friendly Neighborhood Comics in Bellingham, Massachusetts. I got what else do I got?
Saber Legion.
The Saber Legion I've got. What else do I got? There's one more. I had three.
Yeah.
There was a third one.
Epic Nerd Camp.
I can't remember what it is. Epic Nerd Camp. Yeah, see? You know. Yeah. Epic Nerd Camp. Look that shit up. It's fun.
When's it coming up?
It's like the third week in August, and I teach all the sword stuff.
Sword stuff. You're the sword guy. As a sword guy, what are you on Twitter?
Jim Blackheart.
Oh, I think it was like sword guy or something.
No, I am Jim Blackheart, which is my fictional character from a Reading.
Fine.
And speaking of Twitter, you should check us out at the Longbox Guys because Tom does an excellent job on that.
Yeah, we've been having some fun this week. We've also had a couple of very nice tributes to Big Van Vader. Greatest moonsault or absolutely greatest moonsault of all time. That's the only two choices. 330 to 40 pound moonsault. Never seen a sequel. Mikey, can you tell me a better moonsault that you've ever seen than Big Van Vader's?
No.
And Mike is my other big, big, big wrestling fan. When I saw Vader pull off a moonsault the first time, I was in awe. Big Van Vader, baby bull, we'll miss you. Tommy, you got any plugs for us?
I do. I would like to plug a little-known Western Mass band that was around way back in the 90s, Longshot. They were a great little ska band. You can find their music on Bandcamp. If you search for Longshot, they're under reggae, but really they're ska. Fantastic little Western Mass band.
Hmm. Oh, that's nice. Good tie-in there, Tommy.
Good tie-in.
I would like to plug the comic book shop I'm not going to go to anymore, which is Kamikaze. My wife used to work right next to their shop, but now she's working at Northeastern. She had a better offer. And I got to get a new comic book shop. Damn it. But Kamikaze was terrific.
You don't have
miss those guys.
You don't have
to. Maybe not, but I like my wife being my mule.
Oh.
Oh, that's inappropriate.
No, it's not. I liked it. I loved it. Couldn't get enough of it. And with that, thank you guys for listening to Out to the Long Box, guys. My name is Tom. Don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Just promote what you love. Mikey, what is this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comic books.
And Josh, Fan Expo's coming up. Billy Dean Williams is going to be here. A bunch of other cool people are going to be here. Is that your sector?
Yeah, Billy Dean Williams specifically. Is my sector.
I'm gonna be so close. I would be so weird next to him. I'm gonna do the hug speech verbatim. Hey Tommy, any last words for us, Tommy?
Hey man, if you guys could just get behind our paywall and pay for the goat, that would be awesome. If you could do that, that would be great.
And where can they go for that?
Go to Patreon.com/
/or/, we can't remember, Longbox Guys, and just give us even $1 a month. That'll keep our lights on. That'll keep us going to different cons. And that'll keep us in beer. And
It'll keep us on whatever platform we are on, whether it be Netflix or Amazon Prime or wherever. Tommy can't remember where he saw us.
We're definitely on Amazon Prime.
I thought we were the thing with the thing on the thing. Might have been Amazon Prime.
Definitely Amazon Prime.
It'll keep us on Amazon Prime. And, yeah, we care. At the Longbox Guys, we care.
Honestly, we do care. And have a great night. And thanks for the Longbox Guys.
You can be my cosplay queen and I will be your king. We can spend our lives together putting needles into leather. Tell me, round this sewing machine, there is no place I'd rather be than sitting here beside you with the smell of tape and hot glue. Do you remember 5 years ago today? You were hanging on the steps and you were in your Shira dress. I was cross-playing Jean Grey, and you asked me where my Scott was. Yeah, you look just like a goddess. And you can be my cosplay king, and I will be your queen. We can spend our lives together, putting needles into leather. Tell me, around this sewing machine, there is no place I'd rather be than sitting here beside you with the smell of tape and hot. Never thought that you could understand the feelings I had for you till I saw you dressed as Mega Man. And I was cosplaying Doctor Who. You saw the man behind the curtain, saw a man that had to love you. Honey, you can be my cosplay king and I will be your king.
Ran right over you.
Right in the
in my face. Shut up now.